You've got questions, we've got answers. Phone lines are open.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so blessed to be with you as we're here to infuse you with faith and truth and courage. Phone lines are wide open. So right now, well, we got some lines open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The earlier you call in, the better chance we have of getting to your call. Any subject under the sun you want to talk to me about, that's what we do on Fridays as we open the phone lines. And yes, it was Rush Limbaugh's Open Line Friday that inspired me to do this many, many years ago when we got on Daily Talk Radio. I do want to start with one very important subject, but before I do, Monday, we just put it off a couple days to final proofreading. We're sending out the Frontline newsletter Monday. In fact, it's on my screen. It is on my screen, just giving it a final proof. So if you're not getting our Frontline newsletters, you're going to love this. You're going to be blessed, edified, encouraged, strengthened. I know it as you read it. So go to thelineoffire.org. Take a moment, put in your name, email, thelineoffire.org. Okay. A quick subject, and then we're going to go to the phones. Why does God hate unequal weights and measures? Why are they called in Scripture a toeva, an abomination, something that is detestable? Why is that the case? So what do you mean by unequal weights and measures? So in the ancient world, you would, let's say you're paying for something with, you're bartering, right? So you're going to give this amount of silver for this amount of grain, and so you're gonna measure it out, right? So if you were dishonest, you'd use unequal weights and measures. So you would have it that when you're weighing out how much you're getting, it's short. We need more there to balance it out. When you're weighing out how much you're giving, you're shorting the person. So it was dishonest, but it was dishonest in a deceptive way. You were claiming to be ethical. You were claiming to do the right thing. It's one thing to just steal. Someone breaks into your house, they're a thief. What they did is sinful and wrong. Don't steal. It's against the Ten Commandments. But they weren't giving the impression of honesty and ethics. And that's something that God hates. It's one reason that Jesus so strongly rebuked the religious leaders and said, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. So you're going to have a drink, and you put that drink through a strainer. So it's a little gnat. You strain it out, and you swallow a camel. And I just produced a video that we'll get out as soon as we can where I flatly and openly rebuke American Gospel and Chris Roseborough for putting out a video downplaying the severity of the sins of Martin Luther and claim when I quoted him, I was misquoting him or taking him out of context. And these were not things he needed to repent of, to be in right relationship with God, and have eternal life, etc. It's utterly reprehensible. Why do I bring it up? I bring it up because these very same people will blast a charismatic leader for a sin that is 1/100th the severity of Luther's and has had 1/1000th the effect of Luther's sin, because the Nazis used those and put a lot of his strategies into practice. And his words fueled, on a larger level, fueled a bunch of the German anti-Semitism because of the great influence of Luther over the centuries. So it is such a hypocritical thing. It is such a wrong thing. It is such an unethical thing. And God hates it. Let us use the same standard across the board. There are people calling on me to call out evangelical leaders. I'm not going to mention their names right now. Well-known evangelical leaders, non-charismatic, anti-charismatic. They've been challenged on points before. Or you pastor, you covered up for a pedophile that abused his own family. He went to jail, and you still covered up for him. And saying, Dr. Brown, you need to call this person. These are things that happened in years past. And they're saying, you need to revisit this. Call this out, right? And I'm still looking for a way for things to be dealt with justly in-house and rightly in-house because I'm not involved with the situation. There are people wanting me to call out some of the hypercritics as wolves. Dr. Brown, why don't you call them out? Well, wherever I can confront privately, I'm going to confront privately. It's the same thing with charismatic friends. I believe in error. I'm going to try to be consistent. The point is, you'll have the hypercritics. They will attack you. They will verbally maul you for claiming that the Holy Spirit spoke to you when they say the Holy Spirit doesn't speak, or you drove a demon out of someone. We don't have authority to do that today, and that's not real. Or you're flaky in this area, right? Or you're telling people if they give to your ministry, God will bless them. They'll verbally maul them, mock them, call them all kinds of names. And then someone in their own no, explain it. That's detestable. That's detestable in God's sight. And just like a lot of the flakiness and false prophecy and junk in our charismatic circles is ugly in God's sight, is wrong in God's sight, is inexcusable in God's sight, is unjustifiable in God's sight, so is it wrong and evil and unjustifiable when you bear false witness about people and when you use unequal weights and measures. May the Lord bring us all to righteousness. We will get that video out as soon as we can. 866-34-TRUTH. We will start, let's see, in Illinois with Efren. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. First of all, I just want to say good Shabbos, and you're an amazing teacher.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
With that being said, I want to say that I believe that you're guilty of unequal measures, which is a double standard. You have one standard for the natural seed of Israel and another standard for the spiritual seed of Israel. When the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt, it was Abraham's spiritual seed. Some were just Egyptians, and some were his physical seed. And that group of people was called, wait for it, the congregation. The congregation in German is called the church. The congregation
That's wrong. Gemeinde is congregation. Church is Kirche in German.
So I know we'll go back and forth on this. But let's do this. Let's invite God into the conversation because I know you believe in miracles. If I'm wrong about this, here's what I'm pledging. I'll give all my money, all my time to Dr. Brown's ministry. But if you're wrong,
I don't
you can give all your...
What am I guilty of? Help me. Help me understand. What am I guilty of? Where am I using unequal weights and measures? Please help me.
You have a double standard, Dr. Brown, for the spiritual seed of Israel and for the physical seed of Israel. And people have tried to make it clear to you, but you refuse to see it. So let's just ask God to come into the conversation.
Father, we welcome you. We welcome your truth. Father, open our eyes. Gale naiva abita niflot mitartecha. Uncover my eyes that I can behold wonders from your teaching. We welcome you, God. What am I doing wrong? Where am I guilty of unequal weights and measures? Please explain. I have the slightest clue what you're saying. Honestly, I have the slightest clue what you're talking about.
Well, so I got a degree in Jewish studies. I can tell you that throughout history there were conversions.
Correct.
People converted and became law keepers. You yourself might be a descendant of one of those people that converted.
Of course. Well, someone converted somewhere, otherwise I wouldn't have white skin.
People can't come into Israel. People can't be part of Israel, and that if they can only be part of spiritual Israel, and that doesn't give them the right to live in the land, and that's unjust. It's unjust in God's eyes.
If let's say you're a Gentile and you convert to Judaism, right? You have a right to live in the land. Go for it. Great.
It doesn't make you born again. The only way I could live in the land is if I deny Yeshua as my Lord and Savior. And this is a sin upon Israel.
That's wrong. I've been working against that for decades. That's wrong.
I did a conversion. Dr. Brown, I've done two conversions. I went before the Jewish board, and they asked me to deny Yeshua three times.
Well, because they don't.
So don't tell me that's not right.
I didn't say it's right. I never said it's right. Oh, okay, listen here.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of people on hold here. I don't have the slightest clue what your issue is with me. Honestly, if I knew, I'd respond. I don't have the slightest clue what your issue is. No, I think it's 100% wrong. I am dogmatically 100% against the policy in Israel that says that if you are a Jew, born Jew, parents, grandparents, Jewish, you become a follower of Jesus, that you are now no longer a Jew and cannot get citizenship in Israel. That is 100% wrong. I've always fought against it. All my Messianic Jews have fought against it. Some of my colleagues over the years have been the very ones whose cases went up to the Supreme Court and they were denied citizenship. It's 100% wrong. The Nazis would have killed us as Jews. 100% wrong. As for Israel not recognizing your conversion, if you say I'm converted to Judaism but I don't renounce Jesus, well, then you haven't converted to traditional Judaism. So it's not a true conversion in that regard. But should a Jew who believes in Jesus be granted citizenship in the country? Yeah, of course. 100%. All right. And anyway, let me get on with other callers. Friends, if you think I'm wrong, tell me where. It's, Lord, help Ephraim there sort these things out. We welcome God in the conversation, right? All right, let's start fresh here. Carl in East Tennessee. I imagine this call is going to be a little easier to follow. Go for it, sir.
Well, there's a lot to be said. A lot to be said.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I would like to start with some scripture here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. The scripture reads in the Authorized Version, the King James Bible, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Now, Luther, in his book on the Jews and their lies, was coming against the spirit of Antichrist and the satanic religion of Judaism, not against someone's race.
So
he
just
specifically
hang on. So it
came
was,
against the practice of Judaism.
Hang on.
And you, sir,
was it
defend
right?
The
was it
spirit
right?
Of Antichrist.
Was it right for
you
him?
Are
was
enemy
it right?
of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you are.
All right. So, wow. Thank you, Carl. May the Lord bring you to repentance and salvation. You just heard from an anti-Semite who says Martin Luther was justified. Martin Luther was justified in calling for the death of rabbis if they would teach Judaism. Martin Luther was justified in calling for the burning of synagogues and the destroying of Jewish homes. Martin Luther was justified in being the John the Baptist of Adolf Hitler. May the Lord bring you to repentance. Boy, was I wrong about thinking the second call would be different. Looks like we have stirred stuff up. By speaking the truth, there's a lot of sickness and rot out there claiming to be part of the body. May the Lord expose it.
Is brain health important to you or someone you love? Then please take a few moments and let me present a most amazing product formulated by leading physicians from Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins Medical. This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita. I watched my mother, who was wonderfully gifted and such a hard worker for most of her life until her later years. And then, it was so sad to see the effects of neurodegeneration. Even to this stage, she did not recognize her son. Did you know that 2 out of 3 Americans aged 50 years or older experience some level of cognitive impairment affecting their lives? I was determined to find a formula that would support brain health. I commissioned 3 of the most talented and competent physicians to build a formula that would not only support mental health long-term, but would contribute to feeling brighter, more alert, and with less anxiety each day. After considerable research, a formula was developed, and now I have the joy of presenting NeuroShine exclusively from Trivita. The formula ingredients are equivalent to the science studies shown to improve focus and concentration, enhance mood, and memory acquisition. It has also been demonstrated to help prevent cognitive loss. I encourage you to call a Tribeta Wellness consultant and discuss how NeuroShine will support your brain health or someone you love.
To feel better and brighter, try NeuroShine for yourself. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at TRIVITA, trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One reason we're shouting on the front lines about the rising tide of anti-Semitism is because of junk like that, because it's rising more and more in the church. And I was just, we had a break coming up, and I was going to respond, but I was not going to give airtime to an anti-Semite in that way. But it's a shame, friends. It's going to get uglier. And those that really don't have a solid relationship with the Lord, really grounded in the Word, they're going to fall prey to this. We're going to see it in front of our eyes. And I tell you what, as it unfolds, as you see it more and more, you'll see circles that hold to replacement theology in different ways, and modern Israel today is not fulfillment of prophecy. Okay, we can differ on that, but you'll see blatant anti-Semitism rise among many of them. Just watch. Just watch. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Jim in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hey, Dr. Brown. Great to talk to you. I saw that American Gospel conversation. You showed a lot of poise there. That was awesome. So this is what I'm wondering about Jonah and the whale, a story I've heard from my youth. Uh-huh. But you know, I've heard that the whale, basically, he, you know, he was in Joppa, he was headed to Tarshish, then the whale grabbed him for 3 days, then it spit him up on dry land. So what I've been told, and I actually read it even in some commentaries, I'm not going to mention which ones, but that the whale spit him up, and that presumably he was like in Assyria, the people saw it, and it was this great sign because their God was the fish God. But when I looked at it on the map, I mean, Nineveh is a cranking long ways from the shore. And the other thing is, I can't imagine that he would be in the best position to go straight to Nineveh after being 3 days and three nights in a whale. So what I'm curious is, I mean, could it have been because the Bible says after the whale spit him up on dry ground, it doesn't determine where it is. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him the second time. Could it be that he didn't, like, just go straight from the whale's belly to Nineveh? That's my question.
Yeah, so first we don't know it was a whale, right? Just it was,
well, right.
Like,
yeah,
large
whatever
fish.
It was. Yeah, exactly.
Right, right, large
yeah.
fish. Right, but it doesn't say. I mean, there are some that will say, you know, that Jonah was still looked like he had just been in the belly of a fish.
Right.
You know, and he's like, oh, like, who is this guy? Like, walking zombie. Yeah. And, oh, the Arba'im Yom, Nineveh Nech Pachet, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. They're like, okay. But we don't know that. So there is no information. We don't know where the dry land was. You're 100% right in saying that we don't know where the dry land was. And could it be that he was that, and again, Tarshish, there's debate about exactly where it was, but what's clear is it's the opposite way from Nineveh. You know, whichever way he's supposed to go, he's going the opposite way. So where is the dry land? Did he have to travel back, et cetera? You know, are we thinking that the fish swam for 3 days? You know, how what's the nearest dry land to Nineveh, right? So for sure, it's not like the fish just plops, like flies out, lands in the city of Nineveh, and like, whoa, there goes Jonah. So now Jonah has to, however he gets there, it doesn't tell us. It's not part of the story.
Right.
So you're 100% right in raising questions about that.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Yeah, and the round table, Sam, Jim, Justin, and me, I think everyone was gracious and cordial with
I
each
did
other.
Too.
Yeah, and hopefully people can benefit by hearing this interaction. Okay, God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
866-34-TRUTH. Let us go over to David in California. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Okay. I listened to the four-hour conversation you had and thought it was fantastic. But I wanted to talk about the gift of discernment or discerning of spirits because of the Mike Bickle thing. I've seen a lot of comments on other sites about how you guys didn't pick up on this and blah, 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 you know. And, of course, it was filmed before mm-hmm. All the allegations came out. And I was just wondering, I don't know how much you worked with Mike or the Sam was on staff there for 7 years. How do you miss something like this, you know? In my experience, being a Christian, I've come across people that my spirit would immediately say, don't, you know, there's something not quite right about them. And later on, it's been proven out. And I'm just wondering how, if I don't know how much you, like, again, I said, I don't know how much you were involved with Mike Bickle. I've heard him speak several times. I've never, you know, I just was never really impressed with him, you know. Positive or negatively, you know, about him. But, you know, so I'm just kind of wondering, I'm seeing that, you know, how do people miss people living in sin? I don't know the extent of Mike Bickle's, the allegations or what, you know, they're saying's gone on. But so that's my question, you know, how could you have missed it if you were even into that position to able to discern it?
Yeah, let me try to respond. It's a great question. I knew Mike. We spent hours together in different settings. I did some ministry for him. We hung out here and there. But I was not really close to Mike as Sam was, mm-hmm. considering him a best friend, spending thousands of hours in prayer together with him. So it was even more devastating and shocking for him. And, of course, we both regret that we spoke so well of Mike in that video. But mm-hmm. that's reality. That's the fact. Yeah. You know, just put it out. That's reality. What's interesting is that Justin Peters and Jim Osmond never said a syllable about Mike being guilty of sexual sin. It was more questioning the alleged prophetic revelations and other things and mm-hmm. some of his teachings. So it's not like they discerned the sexual sin any more than any of us did. No one was accusing him of that. He seemed to be exemplary from what we knew. I've had plenty of times over the years, plenty of times where I sensed something was wrong with someone, or Nancy sensed something was wrong, or said, just don't work with this person. Plenty of times I've been preaching and sin is revealed, and I call people out, or have had to sit with a leader and confront them privately. Mm-hmm. I mean, this happened over the decades. So why we didn't pick things up with Mike, I can't tell you. I don't mm-hmm. know. It's a valid question, but mm-hmm. I said on the air the other day that if you serve the Lord long enough over the decades, you will find that there was someone that you were tricked by. There are mm-hmm. husbands and wives live in the same home, and the husband is a serial killer, and nobody in the family knows it. Or the wife's been having an affair for 10 years, and nobody in the home knows it, and it's a Christian family. And think, the disciples were side by side with Judas.
Yeah, that's correct.
Eating with him, going on missions with him, healing the sick, driving out demons together. They didn't get that it was Judas. They had no clue. Mm-hmm. They were shocked as anybody. So all I can say is that we're human beings, and God mm-hmm. does not reveal everything to us. I wish that it would. Look, a couple dear, dear friends probably listen to this broadcast today. Dear, dear friends, their community on the 21st day of corporate prayer and fasting, very close friend, the daughter committed suicide. And they...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, utter tragedy. Mm. And, you know, they're in agony over it, as you would understand. And, you know, why didn't we have warnings? And I said, you know, God doesn't show us everything. I wish. Well, I don't wish. I trust God. We can't handle everything. But look, I wish I had known better about Mike. There are plenty of people I don't work with. I don't announce it, but I just don't work with them. Tons of people I don't work with because I don't like their morals, or I find their teaching suspect, or I won't accept an invitation to do something with them. Lots of them. That's the case. But Mike, I really looked at as an exemplary guy. And if you read his books about Jesus or listen to his teaching on Romans, you'd find it rich. If you hung out with him, he'd welcome you preaching on repentance and holiness and spend hours and hours in prayer and worship. So wish we'd seen it. We didn't. What can I say? I'm just being honest, not trying to make an excuse. That's reality. The Holy Spirit does not reveal everything to us, and I had no scriptural indication that he was in heresy, no scriptural indication that he was living a double life from everything that we understand. It's a fair question. That's my honest answer. We'll be right back. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dear friends, I encourage you, hold our hands up so we can reach others, we can help others, we can equip others. We are actively, at the top of our lungs, pushing back against anti-Semitism and against wrong theologies that pave the way for anti-Semitism. At the same time, we are reaching the Jewish people with the good news of the Messiah, and we do it with your help. It's a sacred investment. It's a sacred partnership. So join together with us. Go to thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Join our support team. Together, friends, we are making a difference. All right. With that, let's go over to Henry in Charlotte, North Carolina, not far from me right now. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Doing great.
First of all, I want to thank you for having the chutzpah for standing up for what is right. I mean, you have taken the bull by the horns and moved forward. Now, this whole thing about false balance is abomination unto God.
Yeah.
You're right. you know, if you, those two individuals that called her that were pretty rough on the air, they were not balanced before God. That's why God wants a balance, because if they wouldn't be acting like that. And second of all, I mean, it's true. God wants us to have the whole thing is, I'm leading to a question. God wants us to have a balance. For it's like a rowboat. If your left hand is nothing but faith and your right hand is nothing but works, you'll be going in circles all the time.
Yeah.
But Paul says, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And that is what we have to have. You, sir, are showing your faith by your works and doing what the Great Commission says to do. And for you, yes, you're going to be attacked. That's a prime example of what we just saw. And just keep moving forward in Jesus' name, doing the great work that you're doing, because it's going to happen. God has put you there to do a great work, and I am proud of you. God loves you. He's doing a great work in your life. I thank you so much for what you're doing. That's why I called to tell you that. Don't be discouraged in any way, shape, or form, because we're living in the last days. This is post-tribulation. We're living in the last days, and that's going to happen. But I was doing something God just pulled on my heart to call you and tell you this. Because you are the prophet in this area, and just stand. It's not, you're like Elijah, you know.
Yeah, well, Henry, listen, I appreciate you taking time to call. Chutzpah, that's a good Yiddish word. It's kind of a boldness and audacity. And, you know, look, we're all servants, right? We're all just servants. Nobody is anybody. There are no superstars in the kingdom. We're all just servants seeking to honor him and be obedient. And, look, once you understand his will, you just do it, right? To me, it's not like have courage. Like, no, it's once you understand his will, what can you do but do it? The lion has roared, who can but fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? That's what the name is three. So for any of us, once you know what's right, you have to stand. You have to do it. You have to honor the Lord. And that's our goal. And yes, Jacob James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. So let us be true disciples in word and in deed. Thank you, though, for being gracious and calling. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Andrew in New Hampshire. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hello, Dr. Brown. Shalom. I presently belong to a Seventh-day Adventist church, and I totally agree with their positions on the law and the dietary restrictions, but I'm troubled by their attitude or their position on replacement theology, where they believe that the Jewish people were cut off when Christ was crucified and Stephen was stoned, and they were cut off, and that the gospel was then given to the Christians, and that the fulfillment of prophecy will be through the Christians, not through the Jewish holy people in the end times. So I almost take that as a little anti-Semitic. They almost venerate Luther, who, from what I understand, was his writings were anti-Semitic as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, at the end of his life, Luther was blatantly anti-Semitic with horrific writings. We'll have a whole video coming out renouncing American gospel, and Chris Roseborough for downplaying the sins of Luther, trying to not give him a pass, but put him in a certain context as if they could be better understood in that way. But most Lutherans follow Luther's earlier teachings, which were not anti-Semitic. I won't get into a whole discussion about Seventh-day Adventism with you. I'll just say this, sir. I find it bizarre that the Sabbath, which was given as a sign to Israel, specifically to Israel, is that remains, but Israel doesn't remain as a people in God's sight, you know, according to this theology. It's quite bizarre when you think about it, because that was the sign between God and Israel. So I basically say, well, the church is now displaces Israel. The problem, of course, is that God is against the theology. The word is against it. God has promised in Jeremiah 31, verses 35 to 37, that no matter what Israel does, he will preserve Israel as a people, speaking of the physical seed of Israel. He has said in Psalm 105 that it's an oath, it's a covenant, it's something God swore, it's forever, it's for 1,000 generations, that the land belongs to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, speaking of the physical seed. The word is quite clear that if God scatters, no one can regather. So the only reason the Jewish people are back in the land is because God has regathered. And there are purposes that remain for Israel. Jewish people need Jesus to be saved like everyone else. There is no salvation outside of the cross. There is no salvation outside of the blood for Jew or for Gentile. So that we must preach plainly. And I hope you have that understanding that salvation comes through the blood of the Messiah, not through our good works, but through his sacrifice. We put our trust in God and receive forgiveness and then lead new lives as a result of that. But that theology often opens the door to anti-Semitism. It does not recognize God's purposes for Israel, the God who preserved Israel, the God who brought the Jewish people back to the land, the God who is waiting for a Jewish Jerusalem to welcome back the Messiah. When people reject that, they often come to anti-Semitic conclusions. Many times it's very, very ugly. Have you read my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, if you're able to get it, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, get the 2019 edition. Came out in 92, never went out of print. The 2019 edition, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I believe it'll answer a lot of your questions and impact you as you read it. Thank you for calling. God bless.
Great. Thank you very much, Doctor.
All right. There's another time we can discuss Seventh-day Adventist distinctives and areas where I'd have strong differences, but not the time for that right now, and that's not what the caller was calling for. Let us go over to Elijah, Newport, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Forgive me, my voice is a little shaky. I've never called into a radio program, so I'm a little nervous.
I'm a
senior in college right now.
Yeah, by the way, I'm joking with you. It's just the two of us chatting, so be at peace, man. Be relaxed.
Oh, you're all good. My phone's a little quiet, so I couldn't hear you for a second. But anyway, my question, I watched the four-hour roundtable discussion with you and Sam Storms and Jim Osmond and Justin Peters, and I saw you guys wrestling with this tension of this question of what do we do with people that seem to truly believe the gospel, yet build their ministries in a way that doesn't seem to be built on the gospel, and that teach some probably false or dangerous things. How do we categorize those people? And I was wondering your thoughts on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if that can maybe add a helpful category to that discussion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about how, you know, like some people say, I follow Apollo. Some people say, I follow Paul. Doesn't really matter. But he talks about on Judgment Day, each person's work for how they built on the foundation of Christ will be revealed for what it is. It'll be revealed with fire to test the quality of each person's work. And it says that if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If what is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will still be saved, even though as one only escaping through flames. My interpretation of that is that people can build their ministries on something other than Christ, even while still believing in Christ, still technically be saved, but they won't receive a reward in heaven because their work and their ministry will be burnt and exposed for being false, in a sense. I was wondering if you share that interpretation, and could that be a helpful category to apply in those conversations, maybe talking about people like Benny Hinn or even some of the weirder guests that your friend Sid Roth brings on that you talked about in the discussion?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. That's referencing Benny or Sid. They stand before God and will give account to God, as will Justin and Jim and John MacArthur and me and all of us and you. But that category, 100%, absolutely. That's why I don't use the term false teacher, false prophet, false apostle, unless I'm convinced that person is not a believer. Because a false apostle, according to 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, is a servant of Satan. And a false prophet, according to Matthew 7, 15 through 20, is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And a false teacher, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, is someone who introduces damnable heresies. So if the person is a true believer and their emphasis is off, their message is off, there's error, but they're still a true believer, yeah, for sure. Or it could be different. It could be you built your whole ministry on pride, right? Or you built your ministry on self-aggrandizement. Or you built your ministry on attacking and tearing down others with unequal weights and measures. And on it goes. I mean, the sword cuts all these different directions. 100%. That would apply that is a saved person, but what they did, their efforts, their works, their ministries will go up in flames because they were not built rightly on the truth of the gospel or on true Christian morality or on true godly motivation, etc. And that when everything is tested, go up in smoke. Yeah, that's 100%. I think that's
okay.
Applicable.
Yeah, because when I was listening to that conversation, I just kept thinking about that verse. Like, I think that could be a helpful category in this nuanced discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you on it totally. Like I said, it explains my position. And then all of us, you know, someone said to me, called in very respectfully on Tuesday, Dr. Brown, I love you, but you're going to have some straw mixed in with your gold. It's like, you tell me anybody that's only going to have perfect gold, silver, precious stones that. No, I haven't met that person yet, but let's get low. Let's let the refiner's fire work in our lives. Let's be teachable, humble, correctable, so that Jesus can be glorified. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Man, I can't wait to get more calls on the other side of the break.
Are you or a cherished loved one finding it harder to remember names, stay focused, or maintain a positive outlook on life? Well, you're not alone. I'm Dr. Paul, and I have a critical health alert. Did you know that approximately 2 out of 3 Americans age 50 and older experience some level of cognitive impairment affecting their daily lives? It's a serious issue, but there's hope. Introducing Trivita's NeuroShine, brain support supplement developed by Mayo and Johns Hopkins trained doctors. NeuroShine is specifically designed to nurture the healthy development of brain cells and provide defense against neurodegeneration. Trivita's NeuroShine contains Bacopa Mineri, shown to enhance verbal learning, delayed word recall, memory acquisition, and reduction of anxiety. Studies also show an impressive 85% improvement in focus and concentration. Our clinical formulators included lithium orotate, a specific salt known to enhance mood, making you feel better and brighter. It also demonstrated to prevent cognitive loss. Trivita's formula includes pantothenic acid, playing a crucial role in regulating and synthesizing several neural pathways, ensuring comprehensive support of your cognitive health. Protect and enhance your cognitive health today with NeuroShine. Experience the difference in mood, memory, focus, and concentration. Trivita, your trusted partner in wellness, brings you NeuroShine to support a brighter and healthier mind. Sold only by Trivita.
To feel better and brighter, try NeuroShine for yourself. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at trivita.com.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. So I'm looking at my screen, and was a caller on my screen as Christ, spelled like Christ, Christ, person someone's talking about. So I had no idea what that meant. Just got a text from Brandon Kinber of American Gospel, saying this is Chris Roseborough that I very specifically spoke against earlier in the broadcast. If I knew it was him, would have brought him on earlier and just recorded a video earlier that we'll release as soon as we can, where I take a tremendously strong issue with Chris. But in any case, sir, your name was not clear to me on the board. If I knew it was you, I would have brought you on the moment I saw it. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, let me start by saying I'm definitely not the Messiah or an anointed one in that sense. So I apologize for whoever put the typo there, but I'm not Christ. So,
all clear. Same here.
I wanted to clear some things up. Number one, I've read your book, Christian Antisemitism, Confronting the Lies in Today's Church, and I find it to be a very important work. And I do recommend it for people in combating anti-Semitism within the church. And I've been an outspoken critic of the anti-Semitic forms of white Christian nationalism. And in no way do I undermine the absolute truth that Luther, in his anti-Semitic rants, legitimately sinned against the Jewish people, and that his anti-Semitism is actually sinful. I, in no way do I deny that fact. So I want to make it clear that we are on the same page when we agree that Martin Luther's statements, his anti-Semitism, were sinful. What I disagree with was how you were using that information, particularly in your roundtable conversation, and pushing for a demand that Osman and Justin Peters say that that Luther was a false teacher. I would note, you just said that a false teacher is a term you don't use, which basically makes me ask the question, do you believe Luther is in hell today because of his anti-Semitism?
I don't know. I don't know how a converted person could say what he said. But let me ask you some questions first. God is his judge.
Sure.
All right? So everything in that video, you downplayed what he said. You said, I quoted him out of context. I did not quote a syllable out of context in his writing against the Jews. You never mentioned that he called for death penalty of rabbis. You downplayed how the Nazis used this literature. I've got quote after quote after quote from Holocaust historians, Lutheran historians, talking about how Luther's thought helped shape Nazi ideology. Kristallnacht, they put exactly into practice, November 9th, exactly what Luther said, to set the synagogues on fire, to destroy Jewish places of business. I mean, you said he crossed the line into sinfulness, and I took the things out of context, and as long as he prays the Lord's Prayer, you know, he doesn't have to repent of those things. I find that reprehensible, sir, utterly reprehensible. And to the way you've attacked me and attacked others, and then it's like downplaying Luther, I find it to be, just being totally candid with you, I don't want to jump on you when you're calling so graciously, but totally candid with you, the perfect example of straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Perfect example of religious hypocrisy and a double standard. I find it reprehensible.
And I disagree with your conclusion, and if I can explain why. I've already said that what Luther did was sinful. And this is where the issue of anti-Semitism gets a little bit more complicated than the way it's presented. And as somebody who has debated publicly people who are anti-Semitic today and claiming Luther as their champion in doing so, over and again, I find that there's a false dichotomy that is made. The Nazis were overtly anti-Semitic on a racial level. Luther's condemnation of the Jews, historically, when you read it out, had to do primarily with theology. And his conclusions that he drew in calling for the burning of synagogues and the killing of rabbis, that's the part that's absolutely sinful. And the Nazis picked up Luther's writings without making the distinction that Luther was making a theological distinction. And the belief that the prince and the king of the Holy Roman Empire was to protect the church from heresy and from threats to the Christians. And so he had that same similar rhetoric against Islam and the Turks. But you don't make that distinction. And so as a result of it, we're not talking about the same kind of anti-Semitism. I absolutely reject anybody who would say that a Jew is somehow less than a human being or that deserves death by simply being a child of Abraham. That is reprehensible, and no Christian can make that claim. At the same time, we must note that Judaism absolutely, in its current form, is the direct theological descendant of the Pharisaical religion that had played an important part in crucifying Christ. It is an aberrant form of Judaism. It is not the Judaism of the scriptures. That being the case, we have to see it
well,
as
it's,
though
it's Judaism
that it is.
As Paul refers to it as Judaism, when he speaks of when scripture speaks of Judaism, that's what it's speaking of, the time the term is used in the New Testament. You said on the video that Jews today, you know, implacably against the gospel. Your average Jew doesn't even think about Jesus, doesn't even think about the gospel, and probably has Christian friends, and probably thinks Jesus is probably a decent guy, whatever. There's this mischaracterization. But you're saying that a Christian could not say that a Jew should die simply because they're a Jew. However, a Christian could say a Jew should die for teaching Judaism on a theological basis, that a Christian could say that.
No, I don't agree with that. That's where I think Luther crossed the line, because you've got to remember Luther's a man of his time.
How could it be? No, he was not a man of his time. Paul Johnson, another historian, said he went way beyond his time in what he said and did. Way beyond his
Again,
time.
Again, I come back to the historical context. This is in the context of the Holy Roman Empire, where there is no distinction between church and state. And this is where I say that Luther sinned. Now, as far as did he need to repent of it, I don't think Luther was aware that what he was saying was sinful. I think he was incited by what I consider to be really bad anti-Semitic literature of the day that mischaracterized what the Talmuds and the Mishnahs and other things were saying. That same awful, really gross anti-Semitic literature exists today and incites a lot of people against Judaism. And one of the things I loved about your book is that you took the time to unpack and give us a different perspective on how to understand and to interpret the Talmuds in a way that doesn't make them, like, you know, into the demonic view that people are putting forward in this anti-Semitic literature. I think Luther came across that, and I think you posit that theory in your book, and I agree. But the reality is this, is that none of us are capable of repenting of all of our sins, and many of our sins remain blind to us. That's the point that I was making. It's not that he shouldn't have repented. It's that he didn't repent, because I don't think he saw that what he was doing was wrong. He was legitimately incensed
we could do the same thing if you're raised in a racist home and thought it was fine to own slaves. You know, and sin is still sin. The fact we don't see it or recognize it.
Correct.
People are seduced, and, you know, God told me to divorce my wife and marry this lady that I fell in love with, and it's just adultery and demonic deception. All right, so, mm-hmm. So Chris, I want to make an appeal to you, okay? I don't watch your stuff, but I saw you debating on a position where I agreed with you. So I don't know how the link came up. And I thought, okay, I need to see that, because everything I know about Chris is negative. And he mocks me. You call me Sergeant Schultz or whatever. I've got, like, I don't know, 10 million words in print. I'm answering questions for decades, trying to be as explicit, like, clear. No, I'm what, the apostle of obfuscation, whatever name. I think it's stupid. I think it's petty. I think it's divisive. I think it's even slanderous and unhelpful. So I hear you call, and you're speaking against anti-Semitism and all this. Like, all right, I'm trying to figure out who you are. I mean, I'd gladly meet with you face to face and just talk off camera, off anything, not to try to prove anything, just to get to know who you are. I just want to tell you this. Your video is going to be used for destructive purposes. It will, in the eyes of people, downplay the severity of the sins of Martin Luther. God is his judge. I don't know. What he said and did is far more severe to me than anything anybody's brought to me about Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or anybody, in terms of the weight, the magnitude, the ugliness, the horror of it. And if he could do that as a Christian, God knows. I don't judge his soul. God knows. I think God used him in amazing, incredible, and extraordinary ways. And I think his uncrucified flesh brought destruction. And Luther's anti-Semitism, you have to remember, helped shape a larger mindset which played into the racial anti-Semitism. They were hand in hand. I would just encourage you to think about this, and Brandon as well, and we'll monitor the comments. Your video will encourage anti-Semites and will encourage, like the caller earlier, the anti-Semite, the pro-Luther guy, by downplaying the severity of sins. The language you used, the way you described it, the way you characterized Judaism today, I'm just telling you, as someone that's been monitoring this for decades, is actually going to give fuel to the fire of anti-Semites. Just encourage you to weigh that before the Lord, sir.
I would note that the anti-Semites that I've debated in the past are already upset with the video that I put out and accused me publicly of being a betrayer of Luther's faith. So I would note that I've already upset the anti-Semites with this response. So I think the right people are angry about what I said, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to have an actual conversation with you. And I'll take you up on your offer if you want to follow up on it, that you and I can have a conversation. No cameras, no recordings, just to get to know each other.
Let's do this, Chris. How about, I'm sure Brandon's listening right now. Brandon, connect us. Brandon, you have the permission to give Chris my cell phone. Does Brandon have permission, Chris, to give you my, to give me your cell phone?
Absolutely.
All right. I will call you as soon as I get it in the next 24 hours, and we'll find a time to talk further. Fair enough?
Sounds good.
All right. God bless you.